first time I sat down with Caleb McCoy, the artist that you just saw perform, it was in a diner in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with a pastor friend of mine, and it was just after his album had just dropped. We both knew his father much better than we knew him. His father is something of a legend in Boston, a legend of urban ministry. He's the kind of guy that coaches and mentors other urban ministers. But we didn't know anything about his son, Caleb, and so we wanted to sit down with him. We wanted to hear what was going on in his heart. What he described to us that day was that he had just exited a long season of wandering, feeling lost, and feeling disconnected. He knew that he was called to be an artist. He knew that he was gifted. But he couldn't relate to his father's calling of Christian ministry. Instead, he chose to try to find his own way. But this involved making several mistakes that he now regrets and losing himself for a time. He told us that the reason why he created this album was that he had entered a new season in his life, one in which he no longer felt lost, disconnected, or purposeless. Instead, he felt a distinct sense of calling and community. And he felt a distinct sense of gratitude for his father and his father's calling. In fact, his father is a gifted musician himself, and he's featured on the album with his son. It's a beautiful thing. I remember this meeting being very emotional for the other pastor and myself because we both have sons, and we wanted for our sons the same kind of sense of connectedness and purpose that Caleb was describing. Today, we have officially exited 2016, and we have entered 2017. And I believe that it's at times of transition like this that we are given a moment to reflect and to contemplate. I've been doing some reflection and some contemplating myself lately. I think it's important that we take advantage of opportunities like this, to take inventory of our lives, to take a mental and an emotional step back, and to evaluate where we're at, where we want to be, and what God wants for us. Like Caleb, my prayer and my heart's desire for us this morning is that we too would have an encounter with God like Caleb did, through the scriptures, illuminated by God's Holy Spirit this morning. And that through the scriptures, we will be reminded of or arrested by a distinct sense of calling and community. We're going to be looking at these two passages from the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament that we heard read just now. Each of these passages rings out a powerful note by itself. But I believe that together, they strike a remarkable chord that we need to hear. So I believe these passages have something to teach us about, regardless of what season of life we find ourselves in, how we are to enter into this new year. So I've entitled this message, Seasons. I don't know what season of life you're in. You may be in a labor-intensive planting or cultivating season of your life. You may be in a difficult season of drought or storms. Or you may find yourself in a joyous season of harvest and abundance. In whatever season that you're in, though the challenges may be different, I believe that the scriptures, illuminated by the Spirit, offer us wise counsel this morning. A word from elsewhere. So as we tune our hearts to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us this morning, let's pray for the Holy Spirit's active power and presence this morning. Pray with me. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Holy Spirit, open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. And everyone said? All right, so we started with Psalm 8. And Psalm 8 is a beautiful song of praise to the Creator for the glory of the creation. It's a song of praise for both earthly creatures and for the expansive cosmos. Psalm 8 becomes even more amazing when you realize how little the ancients who wrote the Psalms knew about the creation. The ancients didn't have access to modern technology or science to help them explore God's creation. For example, Psalm 8 highlights the vast diversity of animal life in God's world. It talks about flocks and herds, animals of the wild, birds in the sky, and fish in the sea. But the ancients couldn't fathom how many species of animals there are on Earth. Today we know that there are 8.7 million species of animals on Earth, give or take a million. Every year we discover or catalog between 15 and 18,000 new species. And estimates are that it would take us 1,000 years to catalog all the species on Earth. Psalm 8 also praises God for the glorious cosmos, the moon and the stars and the heavens. But again, these ancients knew very little about the universe. All they knew was what they could see with the naked eye. Today, our exploration of the cosmos through science and technology only magnifies our sense of awe and wonder at what God has made. Today, we know that stars aren't angelic beings or angels perched on a dome a few miles above the surface of the Earth. Today, we know that stars are gigantic furnaces of gas, millions and sometimes billions of light years from our planet. We also know that our sun is one of those gigantic furnaces, 93 million miles from Earth. And we know that there are billions upon billions of other stars like our sun, in billions upon billions of galaxies in the observable universe. What's amazing to me is that it's the same night sky, the same night sky that we look up at through telescopes, using our technology, that God pointed Abraham to all those many millennia ago and gave him the promise of the covenant. He said to Abram, "Look up at the stars and count them if you can. So shall your offspring be." So the very launch of God's gracious rescue plan for humanity through Abraham's family was set to the backdrop of the glorious cosmos. God promised that through Abraham's seed, who we find out in the New Testament is Messiah Jesus, God was going to form one multi-ethnic covenant family from all the people groups of the world. And today, as we look around New City Church, we can give thanks to God that He is a promise-keeping God. Amen?
Amen.
But what should really strike us about this passage, Psalm 8, what should really boggle our minds is not the praise of the cosmos or the creatures on Earth. What should really strike us is what it says about humanity. Psalm 8 isn't just praise for the Creator, although it is that. Psalm 8 is also an acknowledgement of the profound and powerful calling that humanity has been given by God. What is humanity that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. Have you ever stopped to think about how profound those words are? Psalm 8 uses royal language to describe the role and the calling of human beings in God's creation. The Creator of the earth and the whole universe has entrusted creation into the hands of us, human beings, to steward and to cultivate the earth on God's behalf. Yes, this absolutely means that we're to be tree huggers. It absolutely does. It means that God has given us a mandate to care for this planet's environment. It absolutely means that we have an obligation to protect the animal kingdom from exploitation and extinction, and the environment from pollution and from the pillage of natural resources like water. The truth is, sisters and brothers, that American Christians have a lot to learn from our native neighbors like the Standing Rock Sioux, who understand this calling of stewardship of creation far better than many of us do. This calling to be stewards of creation also means that we're to be stewards of our neighbors. It means that we are called to seek the good, the common good of society. And it means that we're to be stewards of one another. We are indeed our brother's keeper. It means that we're to be stewards of relationships. So what this means is that as we move into 2017, we have some important questions to ask ourselves before God and before one another. How will we steward what God has entrusted to us? We have a collective and an individual responsibility to steward the creation well. We also have a collective and individual responsibility to steward our influence in society and our relationships with one another well. So let me ask you these questions. Are there people that God has placed in your life right now? Relationships that God has called you to steward? Who are those people that come to mind? Who are the people who come to mind because you haven't stewarded those relationships well? If you're like me and you don't always do a great job taking care of those relationships, then you're in luck, because we're in the middle of a series called Life Change from the Heart. And guys like Manny have been teaching us how to do the very important work of reconciliation. Here's another question. Are there opportunities that God has placed in your life to exercise leadership? Have you stewarded that responsibility well? Have you been entrusted with financial resources to steward? Have you been entrusted with emotional resources or spiritual resources to steward? What has God placed in your hand and asked you to care for? And what is your responsibility to Him this coming year? These are important questions we have to ask ourselves before God. And we have to open our hearts to hear the Spirit's voice. But if I ended the message there, somebody would complain, that just sounds like a lot of work, TC. Where's God's grace? I want God's grace. That's why I'm grateful for the other passage we heard this morning. The wisdom from Ecclesiastes offers us a way to see God's grace at work in our lives. Ecclesiastes is one of three wisdom books in the Hebrew Bible, along with Proverbs and Job. And these are meant to be read together as a dialogue among themselves. While Proverbs tends to present life as straightforwardly governed by the principles of reaping and sowing, cause and effect, blessings and cursings, Ecclesiastes introduces readers to the glitches in the matrix. Those times when things don't always work the way they're supposed to. While Proverbs tends to speak in absolute terms about the way things always or never are, Ecclesiastes shows up with the Minority Report saying, never say never. In today's passage from the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, we see that while there's a general calling that we all share as human beings to steward God's good creation, to care for the common good of society and our relationships, that there are seasons to life that change the application of our stewardship. Did you hear that? Even though we share this common calling, there are seasons to life. And that changes the way that we're going to be stewards in that season. This wisdom from Ecclesiastes is God's grace, because it teaches us that we don't have to be able to, nor are we expected to do everything at the same time. Isn't that good news? Did you know that you don't have to do everything at once? Did you know that God has not called you to do everything at the same time? There's seasons to this thing. Knowing that God may be only calling me to do something for a season is grace. Because if I know that this is only for a season, I know it won't last always. And knowing that something won't last always is grace, because it empowers me to endure it. How many times have you had a season in your life where you felt like it was too much and you couldn't endure it? Anybody can relate to that? But knowing that that season will come to an end empowers you to move on, to continue, to carry on. You can even endure grueling and torturous circumstance if you know it won't last always? And how many of you know that you can better prepare for a drought when you've stored up resources in a season of plenty? Did you know that? Seasons are also grace because they produce hope. I know this because I lived in Boston for almost a decade.
Amen.
And I hated those grueling winters. I hated the shoveling. I hated all those bags of ice. Salt. Those bags of salt. Oh. I hated the window scraping. You have to let your car warm up. Y'all don't know about that, right? That's
Amen.
But what I learned in those long, bitterly cold winters was I learned that those seasons produced in me a deep longing and yearning for spring. Woo! And that's a picture of hope. And did you know that when it cracks 50 degrees in Boston, people put on shorts? Isn't that disgusting? Can I get a witness, Jason? Yeah. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome about this. He said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation itself waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. And then James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this to the church. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's a good word. No matter what season you're in, that's a good word. You ever notice that it's so much easier to recognize the seasons that you're in, but that you were in retrospect, as you look back over your life? As I look back over the last 16 years of my life, I can see that during the particular grueling seasons, I thought they would never end, but they did. And when I look back at other times that I thought were particularly rewarding seasons, I feel like they went too fast. But in hindsight, I'm grateful for each and every season of my life. Because in them, I can see what God was working out in me. I can see what God was doing at the time to redeem that time, to make me more fully the person God wants me to be. So let me ask you some more questions. What season are you exiting as you go into 2017? What kind of season are you in? What season are you entering in 2017? Are you in the midst of one of those hard work, buckle down, cultivate and plant and sow seasons where you just need to trust God and move forward and start building? Or are you in the midst of a drought right now? Is this a tough season for you? Is this a flood season? Or are you in the midst of an abundance season? God has blessed you and you have resources to store up and to share. What are the challenges that your current season is presenting you with? I think that the teacher in Ecclesiastes offers us some really important wisdom this morning. Here's what he writes. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil, for this is the gift of God. Family, as we move into 2017, I want to encourage you to carve out some time, either today or tomorrow or sometime this week, carve out some time to spend time reflecting on 2016. Contemplate, evaluate where you're at. Evaluate these questions of your calling. What is it that God has placed in your hand to steward this year? Those relationships, those gifts God has given you, those resources God has given you. And contemplate what season you're in and what God has for you in this season. But I want to be clear. I want you to know something for sure. Whatever season you find yourself in, whatever season you're exiting, whatever season you're entering, we're going to go there together as a Amen. Community. We're going to enjoy each other's friendship together because that is a gift from God. Amen. Let's pray.
Amen.
Almighty God, creator of this immensely vast cosmos that we live in, creator of the incredibly diverse creatures of the earth, we give you praise for the beauty and glory of your creation. We pray that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to fulfill our callings as stewards of your good world, the common good of society, and the relationships with which you entrusted us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the grace of seasons in our lives. Thank you for forming us through these seasons into the image of your Son, making us more and more fully human. We pray for discernment as we reflect and contemplate on what you have done, what you have for us, and what you've done for us. Lord, be our light and our guide as we seek your wisdom in community with our brothers and sisters this year. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to have one more song. This is a song where we actually open our hearts up to God. And we ask God to speak a word right now, in time. Maybe God is going to lead you to take some specific steps of contemplation and reflection. Maybe God is going to lead you to take some specific steps of reconciliation with some of those broken relationships in your life. But whatever God speaks to you, I want to encourage you to be obedient. And during this time, this is also a time of offering. And so we're going to pass the offering baskets. Don't forget to drop your attendance card in the offering baskets as those come around. And when the song concludes, I'll close us with a benediction. Thank you. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Beloved, serve the Lord.